This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. The flag of Afghanistan flew over Portsmouth. It flew from the civic buildings. It flew from every Royal Navy vessel in the harbour. It hung from balconies. Little paper ones were waved by cheering crowds. It was the 19th of March, 1928, and King Amanullah of Afghanistan was about to board a submarine. The king and his queen, Soraya, had arrived at Dover a few days earlier as part of a mammoth European tour. They'd left Kabul the previous year and, after spending time in Italy, meeting Mussolini and the Pope, had continued on to France, Belgium, and then Germany. It was a raft of new experiences for a monarch keen to modernise his nation and present a new, more progressive face to the world. When he stepped aboard the steamer Maid of Orléans at Calais, it was the first time the King of the Afghans had been to sea. It was a calm crossing, with the steamer met by five Royal Navy destroyers halfway across the channel and escorted into Dover. King Amanullah was greeted at the quayside by the Prince of Wales, the future Edward VIII, who escorted the Afghan royals and their considerable entourage by train to Victoria Station, where the British King and Queen were on the platform, waiting to greet them. A long stay stretched ahead. A meticulously planned programme of military parades and inspections, as well as ringside seats at the boat race and England against Scotland matches at rugby and football. When the royal party arrived in Portsmouth that blustery day in March, Amanullah was enjoying himself. You couldn't blame him. 9 years earlier, he'd led his country to full independence from British influence. And now, here he was, being wooed by European heads of state wherever he went, and by Britain in particular. His personal charm was quite something, but that wasn't the whole story. Everyone in Europe was worried about a potential alliance between Afghanistan and their neighbours, the Soviet Union. The royal couple were taken on to HMS Victory, and Amanullah stood silently for a few moments before the spot where Nelson died. Then they walked down a gangway and crossed aboard the cruiser HMS Tiger, a First World War veteran of the battles of Dogger Bank and Jutland, but now in service as a training ship. Amanullah, with some enthusiasm, climbed inside the cockpit of one of the vessel's enormous guns. 9 years earlier, the thought of the King of Afghanistan making such a tour at all would have been unthinkable, let alone sticking him at the controls of a giant operational cannon in a British harbour. Amanullah had ascended to the throne after the assassination of his father in January 1919. As part of his coronation address, he called for complete independence from Britain, who still exercised some foreign policy control of Afghan affairs, despite losing two wars there during the 19th century. Within weeks, Amanullah had declared war. After four traumatic years of global conflict, nobody really had the stomach for another fight, not least the British forces stationed in India, who were drawn into the Afghan conflict. There were a few skirmishes, and within a month, the Third Afghan War was over, with the Afghans victorious again. A peace treaty was signed in Rawalpindi, confirming the end of the British presence in Afghanistan on August the 19th, 1919, a date still marked as Afghanistan's Independence Day. Immediately, Armanilla set about modernising his country. He scrapped strict dress codes for women and announced an ambitious education programme for boys and girls, involving new schools in cities, towns and villages across the country. There were forward-thinking plans to improve the country's transport infrastructure. Queen Soraya became the first Muslim wife of an Afghan ruler to appear alongside her husband at public events. Shortly before the couple embarked on their European odyssey, Soraya gave a speech in Kabul in which she said, "Islam does not require women to cover their bodies or wear any special kind of veil," and promptly removed her own. When they arrived in Portsmouth that afternoon, Soraya wore a fashionable cloche hat and an electric blue coat with fur trimmings. Armanilla wore a suit, tie, overcoat and Homburg. The royal party boarded HMS Arlesford, which then eased alongside the submarine L-22, commissioned for war service in 1917 but not entering service until after the armistice, and flying the Afghan flag like everywhere else in Portsmouth that day. Crew members lined up along the deck of the submarine as a gangway was lowered from the Arlesford to the conning tower, and the King of Afghanistan was escorted aboard. Soraya stayed on the Arlesford, and the vessels sailed out of the harbour together to a 21-gun salute, Armanilla waving to the crowds gathered on the quayside. Once out of the harbour, the party went below, the hatches were closed and sealed, and the L-22 slipped below the waves for a cruise that covered some 22 miles. Armanilla, from a landlocked country, was awestruck as he toured the vessel completely submerged beneath the waves. Then came the best part. The submarine lined up before a target vessel, a battered old tub called the Ross. Two torpedoes were inserted into the tubes and Armanilla invited to fire them. He sat down, put his hands on the controls, looked through the periscope and fired. The missile streaked through the water and scored two direct hits. The Ross sank, slowly and gracefully, as if in deference to its royal conqueror. After a good half hour under the water, the L-22 surfaced and docked at Southampton. The Afghan royal party continued their tour, enjoying being feted by a Briton, hoping to be rewarded with Afghan patronage ahead of the Soviets. As it turned out, all the wooing was a waste of time. In the monarch's absence, indeed, while the king was enjoying his submarine voyage, more extreme factions at home opposed to Armanilla's liberal policies rose up, and a powerful group of hardliners seized Kabul. When Armanilla returned from Europe, he attempted unsuccessfully to regain his throne, before officially abdicating in January of 1929. He went first to India before settling in Rome, in exile, never seeing his homeland again before his death in 1960. As today's news filters through from Afghanistan, it's hard to imagine that day more than 90 years ago, when an Afghan king sat in a British submarine, cheerily taking pot shots at old maritime hardware, while his nation's flag flew proudly over an English harbour. That was A Coastal Story, and I'm Charlie Connolly. For more English Channel tales, don't forget to seek out my book, The Channel, published by Orion, and available in all good bookshops, and likely a few iffy ones too. If you're enjoying these podcasts, do please rate and review them if you can, especially if you're listening on Apple. I'm not entirely sure how, but it really does make a difference in getting us noticed. I'm grateful for all your tweets and Facebook posts too, helping to spread the word. These waves were recorded at Deal in the early morning of August the 20th, 2021.